For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
What's up, fellas? Welcome back to Convos Over Cold Brew with me, your host, Emma Abrahamson. Today we're talking to my college teammate, Allie Cash. You guys are probably familiar with her if you watched any of my YouTube videos back in the day. She's a very prominent figure in the vlogs, and she's also one of my really good friends. We've obviously stayed in contact for a long time. If you guys follow me on any social media platforms, I see her definitely a couple times a year, and she's one of my really close friends. She's also one of the most hardworking people I know, so I know that you guys are gonna love this episode. If you look up the word determined in the dictionary, you'll find a picture of Allie Cash next to it. So I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode and you get something out of it. I got a lot of feedback on last week's episode, and I just really appreciate you guys, whoever took the time to DM me, and all those people who listened to the full episode and had things to say about it. I really appreciate it. Don't forget, if you guys love the podcast, to rate and review on Apple Podcasts. It's a free way to support, and it literally only takes 15 seconds, and I go through your guys' reviews at least one time a week just to go see what people are saying about it and to read your guys' feedback. It's really one of the things that helps keep me going with this podcast, so I really appreciate it. Today's episode is brought to you by none other than Inside Tracker. I've been working with Inside Tracker for the last couple months, and it has seriously been a game changer for all of my diet and my lifestyle choices. When you do what you love, like running, like racing, like enjoying the great outdoors, you want to do it for life, and that's where Inside Tracker can help. Inside Tracker was founded in 2009 by leading scientists in aging, genetics, and biometrics. Using their patented algorithm, Inside Tracker analyzes your body's data to provide you with a clear picture of what's going on inside you and to offer you science-backed recommendations for positive diet and lifestyle changes. For me, Inside Tracker just really holds me accountable to making sure my diet is covering all of my like nutritional deficiencies that are going on inside my body. Without Inside Tracker, I would literally have no idea that I was low on vitamin D, that I was low on ferritin. And I would also, like, even if I did get that feedback, I wouldn't know what to do with it. But Inside Tracker tracks your progress every day and gives you those science-backed recommendations for the diet and lifestyle changes that you can make to reach your performance goals and live a longer, healthier life. So for a limited time, you can get 25% off the entire Inside Tracker store. That's 25% off. Go to insidetracker.com/Emma. That is insidetracker.com/Emma, because change is an inside job. Now let's get straight into today's episode. Shoot, I didn't mean to click start from where we're going. Okay, Allie, welcome to Convos Over Cold Brew. We were supposed to have this conversation a couple weeks ago, and then I messed up. But we're here now, so we're having it better late than ever. So welcome. Everyone probably already knows who Allie is, to be honest, if you're listening to this. But if people don't know who you are, do you want to give a little intro of who you are and what you're about?
Yeah, so I'm Allie Cash, you know, one of Emma's friends, former roommates. I ran collegiately at Oregon, took a couple years off, and now I'm back running with ASICS and a volunteer coach at UW.
Yeah, okay, you just recently signed your first pro contract.
Yeah,
that is so exciting. How does it feel to finally, you know, I mean, I would say that you were already a professional runner before, but now it's like you have like full-on contract.
Yeah, I feel like it's weird, like a year ago, I don't think I would have ever like guessed that I'd be in this position. Like I was kind of like wondering. I was like at that point where you're just like wondering if you can give it a shot or not, and you're like, ah, it's like kind of a stretch, but like we'll give it a go.
Yeah.
And I feel like as the year went on, it was like more and more like, okay, like I think I can do this. Like,
which yeah, is why? Crazy. Well, what was like the difference? Like, what was a year ago? Like, where were you at?
Yeah. So a year ago, I had just started running again after a couple of years off. And as you know, a couple knee surgeries post college. So yeah, I started hopping in workouts with, a couple of the college kids, like because of the COVID thing, like we weren't having official practice, and so I just stopped by and wreck myself a couple times a week and do as much as I could just to kind of help out. And Marisa kind of like tricked me into doing some races in the summer. She was just like, I signed you up for a 3K. And I was like, excuse me, what?
Yeah, I didn't sign myself up. So why are we doing this?
I was like, wait a second.
Okay. No, there's no way that Marisa's, I feel like you had to have been like, I want to race. And then Marisa's like, okay. You always want to race, I feel like.
I do. I mean, she like, you know, said it, and it was like, I was like, you know, I don't know about that. And then it like kind of spiraled and was like, I signed you up.
Yeah. Like, it'll that be sounds fun. About right.
Yeah. So that's what happened. And then did that. And I had like no base last summer because I had only been running. So I was, before that, I had been working full time at a hospital in downtown Seattle. And like running home from work and running with my dog at like 5 in the morning. So like
Allie's schedule was absolutely whack. Yeah. Let me tell you that right now. Absolutely whack, and definitely did not like was not a good schedule to try to become a professional runner with.
It was not, but it wasn't my intention anyways.
Yeah, so, yeah.
But it was like, yeah, I was at that point. I was just running to like, you know, for my sanity kind of like it was, I feel like after college, like running for a couple years, like before going pro, like running kind of just became like a space in my life where I could just like not think and just like exist and like move my body through space and like not have to think. Like I thought all day at work so hard, like my brain was just dead. So it was just like, okay, like running home from work was like the best part of the day because I could just not think about anything and just like, you know, sweat it out. But yeah, so yeah, it wasn't ideal. I probably ran like 30 miles a week until last summer. And then it was like, so I had no base going into the summer season. And then, so the 3K was like a little rough. Like I was like,
that sounds so bad with no base. Yeah,
it was really bad. Like I think I got to a mile and was like, oh no. So yeah, after the 3K, I told her no races over a mile for the rest of the season. And that actually was fine. Like I got way better. I ran, it was the hardest, the 3K was like 9:26 after like a week of workouts, and I was like dead. And then
after 1 week of workouts,
oh yeah, no, I was like killing
9:26 after 1 week of workouts, man, I wish I could do that.
I died really hard though. I think I came through like a mile and 5 flat, and I was like, I don't know, man.
Okay, well, even being able, okay, see, this is Allie's definition of being like out of shape. She's like, yeah, you know, like came through a mile and 5 flat, then couldn't hang on and still ran 9:26 in 3K. I'm like, sheesh, I could, bro, I can't even break 6 right now in the mile. So
yeah, you can.
Yeah, we'll see. Sure. We'll see here soon.
Come, I'll pace you.
No, you're gonna go out in 70.
No.
Anyway, so wait, continue. How you're running a bunch of miles and 1500s.
Oh, yeah. So good. Yeah. So I was like, I think, you know, I told Marisa, I was like, I think I need to skip the next one and like do some workouts and like maybe actually try to get like a little bit fitter. So I paced the next 3K that happened, and I took them through in 4:48, which was like a good, I was like, okay. But I mean, I was real tired after that. Like, I was like, okay, that was good. Good job, Allie. Like, pat on the back. And then the next week I ran a 1500, and I honestly just, it was crazy because I feel like I just had no concept of like what I could do. Like, I was just like, I have no idea what kind of shape I'm in. Like, we'll see. Like,
yeah.
So I was just kind of like in this weird space where I was just kind of lining up like with no expectations and like trying to be as fearless as I could. But, and I ran like on the windiest day possible, 4:16, like windiest day ever. Like, I actually laughed. Like, I took like around the turn, I like laughed. Like, I was like, this is comical.
Yeah.
But that was like almost, I think my PR before this year was like 4:14. So I was like confused. I was like, are you sure that it said 4:16? Because I think that's wrong.
Yeah, that was a little like glimmer of hope probably though.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, I actually think I can still be good at running.
Yeah, it was. And then I did the road mile and ran 4:33, which was like a PR, even though it's like a fake PR. I was just like, okay, like, maybe I can do this. So then I kind of, yeah, that's like where it all spiraled from there. But I was like, in 2 months, you know, if I can do this, like,
maybe what can you do long term?
Yeah, like, maybe if I can stay healthy, you know, like, what can I do and like actually have a base? Because yeah, I feel like, you know, I like the long stuff. Like, I love a good long run, and I like long workouts. So I was like, and I remember in the summer last year, like running 12 miles, I literally couldn't, I barely could do it. Like, I was, it was such a stretch for me, and normally it's not, but it was just like, yeah, it was interesting. Like, it took me like all year to build up my long run. Like,
yeah,
but
yeah. That's why it intrigues me, because you're like, you still, to this day, I like remember you saying in college, like, I'm a 1500 runner, and I'm like, then why are you doing 10 mile hard long runs on Tuesday? Like, that's not what we do as 1500 runners. We don't do that. We do 6 mile runs and go 8 minute pace, you know?
Yeah.
So like, long term, like, do you want to stick with the 1500, or do you want to do like marathons?
I do not want to do marathons.
Seriously though, because like, you love long runs.
I love a good long run.
And high mileage. And like hard. Like, you like tempo long, you know, stuff.
I like tempos if I get a break in them.
Okay, but like, even your long runs, like, I remember looking at your Strava once, I think, and it was like, I just ran 14 miles at 6 minute pace. And I'm like, what? I don't remember when it was from, but I was just like, man, see, that's like, that reminds me of like marathoning, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like, I like the 15. I like the burn of the 15. Like,
yeah.
I like to just absolutely rip it. Like, I feel like really my strongest suit, and I think you probably agree, is probably like long intervals, like,
yeah,
long fast intervals. Like, I can hang for the tempo stuff, but it's not actually my best. Like I'm good at like really hard miles, or like,
yeah,
really hard breakdowns that are just like stupid.
Yeah.
But like the tempo stuff, like, yeah, I mean, yeah, Maggie, one of our old teammates, like, she used to absolutely destroy me on tempo runs. It would be like,
okay,
a tempo,
yeah,
tempo trail of tears for me. That's what we call it. But I've slowly gotten better. Like, I think Marisa, like, she knows that I've been scared of tempo runs, so I've been doing more of them. But I used to, like, I think I did 2 in the last year before this summer.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. It's okay. I'm in the same boat. I just remember showing up to practice. Marisa's like,
because they were traumatic.
We have a tempo run today. Sorry, Emma. And I was like, just because she knew I hated them that much.
Exactly. Like, I feel like you were on the same page, but your strength is always like the short reps, like
Yeah, I don't want to do
4-3-2 or something, you know,
Yeah.
like that was your jam. You could wreck those.
Well, you're multifaceted then. What's like the longest race that you will do, you think?
On the track or no?
Just like for any race distance. Like obviously you'll probably run a marathon at some point, but like what do you think? You'll run a marathon one day, dude. If I can run a marathon, then you will run a marathon. I guarantee it. I would bet money on that. But I mean, like train for, like, what's the longest race you'd train for?
Probably like a 10K.
Yeah.
Honestly, like a 10K on the track feels really long.
Well, maybe 10K road.
A 10K road, I'd be for sure down. Like, put me in next week and I'd be like, sure.
Yeah, honestly, you'd crush that.
The roads, like, it feels really short.
I love road races compared to track races.
Yeah, like a 5K feels like the road mile that I just did was, it went by so fast. I literally, everyone was like, so me and Prakel, so I pre-raced with Prakel, like through Central Park, mostly so I wouldn't get lost or run like accidentally 12 miles. So I ran with Prakel and he was like, you know, like giving me these horror stories, like, oh, the second 400 is like straight uphill. Like, don't start sprinting at the 200 to go, like you will die. And I'm like, okay, like this is gonna be interesting. And then I got to like 200 to go and was like, the thought, I was like, I should start sprinting now. And then I'm like, no, Prakel said don't. And then I'm like, Marisa also said don't. And then I was like, okay, 100 to go, 100 to go. And I got to 100 to go, and then I like started sprinting and it was literally over. I was like, oh no.
Maybe like, just like a little learning experience.
Wait a second. But like, yeah, it was just, I think you just have to run it. And like, I think your personal experience, like if you go out, you know, if you start going with 400 to go, like you
kind of just. Yeah, and that. It's not like the track, like every road mile is different. So
no, for sure.
Yeah.
Like having not done it was just like interesting, but it was super fun. But I haven't done a road. I want to do like a turkey trot or something cool.
Yeah,
you know? That's cool. But
I actually saw Nikki yesterday and we were talking about doing turkey trots and how people dress up in their like turkey outfits.
Ooh, do you have one?
No, I might get one though and do it.
That'd be fun. I wonder what the like 5K turkey world record is or something.
I don't know, but you should try to beat it.
I think so. That might be something worth investing in.
Okay. Anyway, getting back on track of what I didn't remember what we were talking about before. Okay, I'm curious personally. This kind of like goes off of last week's episode. I just kind of talked about like my running story, but I'm curious of what like your relationship with running was after college. Like, how were you finished your last college race and like what was your vibe? What was your plan from then on with running and how were you feeling mentally?
Yeah. After college, I feel like, yeah, I was injured again and I just kind of, I loved running still, but I felt like my body needed just some time away from it. But I also felt like I was stepping away from running, like not on my own terms, like, which I didn't like. But I decided that, like, I kind of accepted that if I got knee surgery, which I did, that like there's a chance that I couldn't like compete again, like, or I just couldn't get back to that place of like where my body was like okay enough to like really get after it.
Yeah.
And so I kind of, I feel like I really gave myself as much grace as I could, but I think this is like so underplayed, like the transition between college and like real life is just like so hard,
bro. It's bad.
Brutal. Like I felt so lost, like all at the same time, like injured, double knee surgery, like no team anymore, like, you know, the Pals had just moved to Washington, like I drove back to Kansas, like it was just like this whole shock of a system. And it was just like, I honestly, like I really needed running, I think, during that time, and like I didn't have it. But like, so I feel like it helped because I had to figure out like other things that I enjoyed doing. Like I couldn't run, so I would like walk to the coffee shop, or like, you know, I would feel like study for something else, or like, yeah. So after the knee surgery thing, I got a full-time job, and like in my head, my expectations were that I wasn't going to be running, like, or if I was, like, it was just like I said, kind of just like time for me to like be free and just like move my body and like feel good, versus like me actually trying to be fit. More like my relationship changed from like performance like focus to just like being a healthy person, like,
yeah,
wanting to move my body, because I know that at the end of the day, like, I sleep better, like, I eat better, like, all of that stuff is better if I'm like, it doesn't even matter if I'm running, like, I could just go for a walk, or like, I just need to move my body at some point in the day.
Yeah.
So I feel like my relationship changed in that way. And then, yeah, like I said, the past summer, it kind of shifted again. And I was also like, I had decided by moving to Seattle, I kind of decided I still want to be involved in the sport. Like, I really missed it. Like I said, it was such a shock, like, just being out of it and not having a team. And so, like, I reached out to Marisa. Like, she had mentioned when she moved to Washington, like, you know, like, if you can find a way to get to Seattle, like, I would love to have you, like, be part of it and stuff. So I reached out to her, and I was like, hey, like, I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to run again, but if I can't, like, can I be a volunteer coach? And then if somehow I'm running again, like, will you coach me? And she was like, yeah, like, yes to all of the above. Just, like, get out here. So.
In true Marisa fashion, just yes. And then the next day you probably show up.
No, I did. I started applying for jobs literally that day. And then called my mom 2 days later. I was like, so I was working at as a medical scribe in a clinic in downtown Seattle. And I like, it says like it takes, like, you might not get it for months, you know, like it's kind of like a hard thing to like get right away. It just depends on like openings and like applications for people leaving for med school and like stuff. So I was like not expecting to like get a reply for like at least a month.
Yeah.
3 days later, I get a call that's like, can you be here Friday for an interview in person? And I'm like, and of course I applied as I lived in Seattle. I used Marisa's address. and then, so they think I live in Seattle, but currently I'm in Kansas. And then, so then I'm like, so of course my first instinct on this call is to say, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I would do. Yep. Definitely could do that. 100%.
Yeah. So, and I had also just gotten a puppy. So I also had, so it was just crazy. So then I call my mom at work that night. It's a Wednesday. No, wait, let's see. The interview is on a Friday. So I got the call on a Wednesday. Yeah. So I'm like, call my mom who's at work. She like works late on Wednesdays. So I like call her and I'm like, so I just got an interview. And she's like, oh really, where? And I'm like, so it's in Seattle. I have to be there by Friday. And she's like, so you're flying? I'm like, no, I'm gonna drive.
No.
It's like, it's January.
No.
And I drive a Ford Focus, which is not a snow car.
But yeah, like, what?
I'm used to driving it, so, like, it's okay, but it was, and so then she's like, Allie, like, this is a terrible idea, and I'm like, I think I need to do it. I'm gonna leave tonight.
Okay, like, see, this is why you and I are such good friends, because we have the exact same mindset. Like, if you're gonna do something, you're gonna do it so fast. Maybe impatient. I don't know what that says about us, but I would do the exact same thing to a T. Whenever I decide something, I need to do it now. There's no waiting. Like, I will, if I decide, like, multiple times when I was living in Portland, I would just decide that day, be like, I'm driving 18 hours by myself home down the 5 freeway to San Diego. And I would do it the day of, or like even times I've like moved places. I'm like, I'm moving today, actually. Yeah. And then I do, and then I pack up my entire like life and do it that same day. So that just so funny because it's exactly something I would do.
Oh, for sure. I remember you doing that.
But then, okay. But then with your job, you didn't even know if you got the job yet.
Nope.
But it seems, I mean, you'd already made that decision in your head that you're going to move to Seattle.
It was like, so my plan B was, so Austin still lived in Eugene. So I was like, worst case, I'm just going to visit him.
Yeah. Austin is Allie's boyfriend at the time.
Yeah. So I went to him. I was like, you know, worst case scenario. But Austin, you know, very unlike us in that way, is very much a planner. So yeah. When I told
you gotta have the best of both worlds, you know?
Yeah, we balance each other out very well. But it was like, he was like, excuse me, what? And I was like, so I'm leaving in an hour?
Can't talk long. Gotta pack up my life.
Yeah. And I was like, so in order to make this work, I have to drive straight through.
Yeah, can't have any hiccups with the Ford Focus.
Yeah, it was a 24-hour trip. Plus, because when I drove through the state of Idaho, there was so much snow. The speed limit's 80, so you should be able to roll through that state. I had to drive 40 through the night because it was just blizzarding.
Also,
I decided, so when I told my mom I was going, she's like, you can't go by yourself. Like, and I was like, true, like, this is probably a little aggressive. I'm going to drive straight through the night, maybe two nights in a row, like, depending on how it goes. And I'm going to have a puppy in the car. and like, packed my life, like, a small amount of it in the car on the off chance I get the job. So I'm like, she's like, why don't you take your grandpa? My grandpa's 88 years old.
So, grandpa, sure. Gramps, it's a light little road trip we're going.
Yeah. So I call my grandpa, but my grandpa's like so down. It's hilarious. Like I call him and he's like, when do you want to leave? And I'm like, so like in an hour? And he's like, okay. Cool. It was so funny. Yeah, he was mostly there just like as moral support, but I'm like, this is terrible. Like, if like he's just gonna fall asleep and then
yeah.
Like now there's just two of us in this car.
And now it's just like a little bit more high maintenance of a trip.
Yeah, exactly. It was so funny.
Well, it worked out, it seems like.
It worked out, yeah. I got the job, thankfully. That would have been interesting if not. But yeah, got the job, went to a Dempsey meet that was happening that weekend, you know, lived it up, flew my grandpa back on the airplane.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, you know, like, hey, grandpa, take my car. You're going back.
Yeah, it was something.
Okay, I'm curious, like, what is the difference between your training now and like back in college? Because obviously you've had the really big breakthrough. What are your PRs now too, by the way? Should look this up before I started.
So 1500, 405, 5K, 15, 19. Oh, 800, I think is 204. I really wanted to run another one because I think I could have run faster, but we'll see.
Yeah, that's a TBD. So, that's yeah.
On my bucket list, need to run, you know, I want to break 202 for sure.
I think you can do it.
I think I can too. 10K, my PR is still from college. I haven't run one since probably.
What year did you run a 10K?
My fifth year.
Oh man, I don't even remember that. I was probably gone by then, but yeah. Still, I feel like I would have remembered you running a 10K. What was it, Pac-12s or something?
Yeah, Pac-12s.
Nice.
I ran at regionals too.
Ooh.
And NCAAs technically, but I was injured, so.
Oh. Really. But yeah, like what is the difference between your training now and back then? And like what do you think caused the huge breakthrough?
Yeah, I honestly don't know. I think training wise, like I actually think I run less than I did in college.
Now, you think that's better?
I think maybe it's better for me. You know,
you're just now realizing that maybe the 10-mile sprints on Tuesday maybe is a little too much for the 1500 runner.
Yeah, I mean, Wednesdays I still run like 10 miles.
Okay, fair enough.
Most Wednesdays, but yeah, like overall, I do less, I would say. Like, I still do the same, like, my sequence is still pretty much the same, but and the workouts are just as long, maybe even some of them are longer, but like, I have less junk.
Okay.
You know,
probably just like less tired. I feel like
I'm just less tired. And yeah.
So, are you working right now? Or are you just running?
I'm doing admin stuff still for the hospital, but I'm pretty much done. I'm like training a couple of other people to like take over so that I don't need to worry about it anymore.
Yeah.
But yeah, so just running otherwise and coaching some, and yeah.
Okay, I'm curious, since I never went through any sort of professional, like, really contract negotiation or anything, but, like, what did that look like, and how good, I guess, do you need to get to, like, get a pro contract?
Yeah, I think, I don't know, it was interesting, like, I think, honestly, like, as an athlete, I feel like you just don't really have that much control over it. Like, I feel like people are just either interested or not for whatever reason. And it just, like, depends on who you know and, like, how consistent you are and, like, how your age and on, like, so many factors. Like, it's just...
Honestly, I think a lot of it is, it is word of mouth and it's, like, kind of rumors, which is not good, but it's, like, rumors of how the person is, like, on a team or just, like, overall as a person. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess that kind of shows that, like, you should be a good human if you're looking to get a pro contract. Because people talk, and the running world is small.
It's small. Yeah, it's really small. But, yeah, I think it's just so many different factors. Like you said, like, it's, you know, who you are as a person, who's your coach, like... Who have you done in the past? Like, what, you know, what are your PRs? Like, have you improved? Like, how old are you? Like, you know, it's just like a lot of stuff. What college did you go to? Like, it's just all, I feel like, just like plays a part. It's crazy.
Yeah, I guess there's no like magic formula.
No.
Becoming a pro runner. It's like,
I think I asked that several times, like throughout this year in my head. I'm like, so what is the number? Is there a number? And I don't think there is.
Like, no, there isn't a number. And it's like, someone could be like a 5-time NCAA All-American and they won't get a pro contract.
Yeah.
There's someone. Yeah, exactly. No, literally, like,
yeah,
it's just crazy. I don't know. Or you have someone like my sister who was a 1-time All-American. And she got a pro contract. So it's like, I don't know. I don't even, I mean, it also depends on like where you want to live, what you want to do. Like, it's just, there's so many factors, but there really is like no set number that you have to hit or like.
No. I think it's so much less straightforward than like going to college.
Yeah. Cause like going to college, it's like, okay, I've run 10, 30 yes. and 450. Yeah. And there's
like standards, like, you know, like, must be under 5 in the mile, like must be under whatever for the 2 mile, and it's just like, if not, like, no, like hard no. Or like, if you do this, you'll have this much scholarship, if you don't, like, it's gonna be taken away, like, you know, like all this, there's all these benchmarks, but there really aren't. And I think that's also what makes like the transition really hard for some people, because it's like,
you could be really good and you're like, why does no one want to talk to me to be on a pro team?
Yeah. And I also think like, if you don't go pro right away, like I wouldn't consider myself old. Like, I'm 26.
No, but like time goes by really fast after it college.
Does.
Like,
it does.
You're aging like fast, and then
yeah
there's just like new,
it
fresh
matters
meat.
Though like, yeah. I mean, like, I think it's hard, like, it's harder to get a contract like if you don't get it straight away. Like,
yeah, because it's just, there's new fresh meat and there's only so much money running that if you really are trying to get like a pro contract, like you're fighting for money that's basically being like given to the younger people because they have more like potential long term. So it just gets harder as the years go on, unless you're going into like marathoning or that sort of segment. But if you're talking like straight track and field, it's like they're looking for the fresh meat. That's why you see all these like high school runners that are getting signed really quickly, like whatever, by these like pro companies, because like the company wants the most out of them long term. So
and
wants to get them in their prime.
Right.
But you defied the odds and you did it, even after getting knee surgeries.
Yeah.
How does it feel? Like, do you feel fulfilled?
I'm really excited about it. I think it's been like such a dream for a long time to just like, you know, like say that you've like done something. Like I feel like I was never one of those kids, like even in high school, like I ran 4:39 in the full mile and was like, okay, now like do you think that's good enough to get into college? And it was just like do you think that's good enough to get a scholarship to run? Like that was what was in my head.
Do you think that's good enough? Or
I had no idea, honestly. Yeah. Like I was so removed, like, which is so funny because I feel like you were so like thrown into the running world so young.
No, I know. And I wanted to touch on that in this episode because it's like, and that's what I talk about in a lot of my things about like my college teammates. Like everyone had such a different experience growing up with it. And I'm the odd one. Like there weren't that many people that were like me that were like super good, really young. It was a lot of people. I mean, I feel like you were another exception. You were like the opposite extreme where you just like found running really late and then you got like super good like towards the end of your college career. But yeah, so I mean, I guess like kind of go into that, how you like got your start and then that mindset, like when you ran 4:39.
Yeah, it was just like I just had no idea, but like you said, like you knew like all these times and like how to train and like everything going into it. And I like when I was in high school, my high school coach told me that he thought I could PR by 20 seconds in the mile every year when I was in high school. And I was like, yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
like,
that sounds accurate.
Do it. And I almost did it right. And it was just like crazy, but I had no idea. Like it was someone telling me that and me saying like, okay, like
that's
me,
like ignorance, you know, is bliss someone, right there.
Yeah, saying like, yeah, okay, I can do it.
Yeah.
And it was just like cross country, like my freshman year, I had never run before. Like I go to practice, like he takes us on a run, we finish the run, and I say, like, I was like, wow, how far was that? That had to be like 5 miles. And he's like, that was 2 miles. I was like, oh. Okay. Like I thought a cross country race was like you have a particular amount of time and it was whoever could run the furthest in that time.
You know, that's close.
Like yeah, like I just had no idea. And yeah, so and then yeah, when I ran 4:39, it was like I didn't know that there was competition outside of your state in high school. I did not know. Like I literally thought nobody competed against each other like outside of their state. So like I go to the race and I'm like, or I'm running, it's like my fourth race at Kansas Relays, which is a qualifier for the Dream Mile, which I had never heard of. And I was like, I don't know what that is, and I'm already tired. And then like 10 minutes before the race, like my high school coach is like, he's like, so this is a Dream Mile qualifier. It's for like a race, like a national race in New York. And he's like, you have to win to get like a, maybe get to run it. And I was like, I'm sorry, what?
I'm sorry, what does that mean?
Yeah. And so
I'm just here for the snacks.
Yeah. I had no idea. Like I'm here for the sack of 5 Panera bread slice bagels that I've been snacking on. But, yeah, so I ended up like doing it. I ended up, getting to go, barely. Like, you had to break 450, and I ran 450 about 5 times, and then finally I didn't run 3 races before it and ran like 448 or something, so yeah. They let me go, but yeah. I was the slowest person seated in the race. Like,
good confidence boost.
I told, which I was like, I didn't know any, I thought it was sweet to go. I was like, this is awesome. I've basically been nowhere. I get to go to New York. Like, so I take my mom, obviously. I'm like, who should I take? Mom, do you want to go to New York? So we go. And me and my mom go sightseeing all day, the day of the race. Like, complete rookie mistake, walking all over New York, like, taking the subway, like, and I get to the race, and, like, all these people are, like, saying how they just, like, rested all day, and they can't wait to see, like, stuff the next day, and I'm, like, oh, like,
oh, I actually saw that this morning,
today, like, and people are, like,
who is this? Oh, that girl seated last? Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah, exactly. And so my mom, like, I tell my mom, because I finally see the entrance, and I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm seated last. I'm like, makes sense, sure. And then I, like, tell my mom, I'm like, so you cannot be that person, like, who stands up. If I get dead last, and you're that mom in the audience that's standing up, like, screaming, like, woo, you got this, like, pity clapping me in. Like, I was like, we're never doing this again. Like, do not do that. But anyway, so I run the race, and I almost won. It was, like, a photo finish between me, Cami Chappis, and Angel Picario. We all broke 440.
Like, I remember that year. Did Cami win?
Yeah. And it was like this epic lean. I don't know what was, like, I took it at the bell and started sprinting. Like, I
How
feel
do
like
you have that good. Confidence?
I don't know.
Ignorance? Like, are you just like, yeah, I feel good?
Yeah, it was just like, it was cool just like running with other people. Because
yeah. Oh, that's true. If you're running for yeah. 450 by yourself, then that makes a little more sense.
Yeah, I had no idea what was happening. I had no idea what was happening. This is like the first. I also thought cross country and track spikes were the same thing.
Sounds about right. So
this is the first race I wore track spikes. Like, I had been wearing my Nike Freeze and my like thick cross country spikes for like the whole year. So it was just like really funny. And then I crossed the line, and again my mom's like, is that right? Like, I think that's wrong. And she's like, is it 4:40? She's like, is it 4:39 or 5:39? And I'm like, mom, if I ran 5:39 like and one, that's concerning.
That's concerning for the future of US distance running.
But yeah, and almost won. Yeah, no, it was really funny. But yeah, so I PR'd by like 9 seconds or something.
And then like, and that like, obviously
that convinced me. Honestly, before then I wasn't sure like if I was good enough. In my head I was like, you know, do you think I'm good enough to run in college? Like, yeah. I don't know. Like, maybe. But
see, okay, that's crazy, because then it's like, okay, you're like, obviously you're good enough to run in college if you're running 439 in high school. I like that baffles my mind. But like, you decided to go to Oregon, the most intense running school in the country, basically. Someone would probably argue me on that, but still very intense. Why? If you didn't really, and like how, like, I mean, Maurice is a great recruiter, so it could be that.
Yeah.
But like, what were you just like, let me just go all into this?
Yeah, I was kind of just, I wanted to be, like, kind of a balanced person. Like, I really did like school a lot. And I visited Stanford and I was supposed to visit Georgetown. I ended up canceling it because I liked Oregon so much. But I visited Stanford and KU, which is, like, my home college, and then Oregon. And I remember visiting Stanford, and I just was like, I don't think I can be balanced here. Like, we've talked about this. Like, yeah. I knew if I went to Stanford, I would end up quitting running and just, like, being a nerd. Like, I would just dive full in to, like, Stanford being Stanford, and it'd be sunny all the time, and I'd just, you know.
So you're like, let me offer the rainiest place in the country really quick instead.
Yeah, so I was like, so how can I make this more difficult? No. So I really liked Marisa. I really wanted a female coach just because I thought it would be really cool. Like, my high school coach was amazing. And like, I would never have wanted to change that, but I thought it was really cool. Like, I think women coaching women is, like, you know, like, I don't think it's necessary. Like, I think there's plenty of good male coaches out there, but I think it's really cool. And so I was like, I really like that. I really liked how Marisa, like, you know, like, she's very, like, people, like, you know, she understands you, like, and she went to Stanford, like, she understands, like, education's important, and, like, being able to do something post-college, like, if running isn't a thing, is important. Really liked that. I want to see what I could do, like, and I wanted to be on a really good team.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, like, I want to be surrounded by people who, like, challenge me. I could care less if I was, like, first or seventh on the team. I was like, I don't care. Like, if I'm getting better and, like, I'm having fun and trying my best, and my best is first or seventh, I don't care. Like, and honestly, I think that's what made us such a good team. Like, the 2016 team, like basically none of us cared. It was just like,
I know, everyone was okay, like, all right, let's see who places where on whatever day. Like, we literally didn't have set number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
No. Ever. No. And it was like, nobody cared. It was just like, okay, like, whoever's got it on the day, like, you know?
Yeah.
So I really liked that. And yeah, I think the running the mile in New York was, like, very eye-opening, because I was like, wow, like, there's a lot of people who are just as good, like, you know, and I was kind of like, where are they going to school, you know? Like,
yeah,
I want to train with other people. Like, I had a really great, there were some really good guys on my high school team that, I mean, I trained with them, like, that whole spring, but I was like, no, I want to be surrounded by some strong women and, like, what we can do. So
what was your favorite year at Oregon, would you say?
It's got to be the 2016 year. It's got to be that season specifically. It was probably the hardest, like, season of my life. Like, running wise, I absolutely killed myself to get into shape, but it was worth every second, like, times a million.
I think anyone would say that. Anyone that was on that winning team was, like, how could you not say that that was, like, their favorite season of their college experience?
It was such a crazy ending to, like,
it was so funny.
We were all just working so hard the whole year, and, like, it just finally came together, like,
the last possible second.
Yeah. Marisa always jokes, like, everybody was fit for just that hour.
Like, seriously, I think that's true.
Yeah, just, like, so funny. I just remember going to camp that year, and, like, you know, I had just strained my hip flexor or whatever, and so I had taken, like, literally 12 weeks off, and, like, and I wanted to go to camp because I just want to spend time with everybody, and, like, I had just started kind of running, like, jogging and stuff, and, like, all that, but I remember Marisa being, like, asking me, like, okay, like, do you want to try to do this, like, do you think we can, like, be something with, like, you know, with this group? Like, are you, like, do you want to go all in for the next, like, whatever? Like, do you want to try to redshirt? Because I could have redshirted. Like, what is your, and I was like, no, we got to do it. Like, I was like, no, we can do it. Like, we're going to race this one into shape. Like, it's going to happen.
And it happened.
And it did. It just like, yeah, it was just crazy. I mean, I feel like we all hung on to like any glimmer of hope that we could that season. It was just like,
if everybody, I don't think anyone was like, no one was really discouraged. I don't think, I think we brushed everything off, which I think that helps.
Yeah.
But I think we were just kind of like stupid because none of us actually like really kind of realized that we were sucking until after the season. We're like, wait, we actually did not very good at all until the last race.
Yeah. But I think we would have done a lot better at Pac-12s had it not been the most difficult Pac-12 of life.
That is true. But it wasn't a million degrees.
It was in Tucson, Arizona, which is at slight elevation, which no one knew, and also in the middle of the day.
In the middle of the day, it was literally like 100 degrees. It was so hot. People had to be like...
To this day, when anyone asks me what the hardest race of my life was, I say that one. I'm like, that was hands down, not nationals, that one. Like, that was the hardest race.
I'm sure some people would agree with you on ever. That one.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I remember we sent, like, on the men's side, we sent two people to the hospital.
Yeah, I remember Sam Prankle.
Exhaustion. Yeah.
What?
They're brutal, yeah.
Some people ask like what our favorite memories together, like what we have so many. I honestly can't choose.
I don't know. Yeah, there's too many. I really like this summer, like 2017 summer. We ran together like every day.
Yeah, we did get really close because like no one else was there and we weren't doing anything. So yeah,
you're forced to run with me every day.
Okay. There was definitely times where you were like, please, and I was like, fine, because Allie just usually goes a lot longer than I do, but honestly, it was worth it. Yeah, we had some good memories that summer.
I took you up to Baldy on a Wednesday.
I do remember that. It was hard, but it was good views. I, like, it stuck in my mind. Yeah, good views. Yeah. We also made our signature drink, which I still reference to this day.
Yes. Pedialyte cocktail.
It's called a Pedialyte cocktail. It sounds repulsive, but honestly, really good.
Yeah, so good.
Yeah, it's like frozen strawberries, Pedialyte packet, not even actual Pedialyte.
Yep.
Like Pedialyte powder. I don't even remember what flavor. Whipped cream.
Fruit punch. Cherry? Fruit punch. One of them.
Whipped cream, vodka, and water. That sounds so gross now that I'm actually.
Some strawberries. Did you say frozen strawberries?
Yeah, I think I said that at the beginning.
Yeah,
I kind of need to make one though again soon whenever I'm feeling like.
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that was a staple.
Yeah, I remember that. That was fun. There's so many other memories. Like that's definitely not the highlight, but there's so many.
There's so many. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
This is bothering me now. I can't remember like.
I honestly just like the times of me, you, and Maddie are just sitting on the floor. Like in the living room, just like chatting about the randomest stuff for hours, and like, yeah, like Maddie, we had those like weird goblet like drinks that were like Maddie would just come home and like have gone to some bougie market thing and like decided that she was gonna be like some like what is it called, like mixologist like person. Yeah. And then would like just like be like making these cocktails for no one, like me and Emma. It's like a Tuesday, like
we're not drinking that.
Yeah. And like it was just so funny, like I love just sitting on the floor just like doing stuff like that. Or
I have one okay, yeah. That time when we pretended to be raw vegans and we ate half of the watermelon, we're like, let me just like, or we had this conversation about like blended salads.
Yeah,
because it's like we were trying to think of things that you could eat as raw vegan, and it was like one time we just sat down and each ate half a watermelon. I've never been so bloated in my life. And then we talked about blended salads. We still need to make one of those though, but it would be foul probably.
It'd be so I think we should. Yeah, you should make a YouTube of that.
Yeah, making Allie and I's blended salad recipe. That's zero just, views.
It's not even. Yeah, do the people want to know? Or
no one wants to, literally no one listening to this wants to know.
I'm pretty sure people were concerned. Like, I remember you, like, being like, we're going to have a blended salad. And people were like, oh, are you okay?
Yeah, they're like, are you raw vegan? And I'm like, no.
Oh, no, we wouldn't survive.
No. Okay, well, to wrap up the episode, I have a few other, like, short little listener questions that someone asked, did we ever go out in college or were we too busy with running? We didn't go out that much. Like, we definitely did not.
Yeah, I would say definitely not during the season. Mm-hmm. Like, when the season was over, there was like a 2-day death period where I feel like we would go hard. Right?
No, I literally it's the post
and then NCAA all party. And then not go out again.
Yeah, no, that's like literally how it is. I think for almost every single like college distance running team, that's literally what it is.
Yeah.
And no, it was I like saw this TikTok and it was some guy like talking about like after some party that he went to and like people came up and interviewed him and they're like, what, like tell us about your, or three words to describe your night. And he's like, lit, crazy, movie. And I was like, this is exactly how all male distance runners describe the post NCAA party.
Oh,
like yeah. The day after, like that was lit, like crazy, and it was a movie
for sure. But, and always like over by 10 p.m
oh, over by 10, no, that's, and I made a TikTok with that sound, with that caption, and I was like it's just so funny because all these people were like, so I don't even know how to describe it. Like, yeah, it was over by 10 p.m. Everyone was like just destroyed. It just
destroyed. Oh my gosh, I will never forget. This was I think this was 2017 too. The first party that I brought Austin to, is now my fiance, it was me and Emma and Austin walked there together. And from, because we live right next door to each other, we did live together too for a period, but yeah. We lived next door to each other that year, and we're walking to this gathering, which is supposed to be like a very low-key party, but like, you know, just kind of like, yeah, very low-key. It's 9:30 and we're walking over there just to say hi to people. Austin's first time meeting almost all these people, and one guy on the team is standing on a table. We're approaching it and we see this happening in the distance. I'm like, my first thought is like, should we turn around?
Yeah, I think it's time to go.
And yeah, and one of the guys on the team has his shirt off, is dumping water on himself standing on a table outside. And I was like, it's 9:30.
So yeah, you could say cross-country runners go
hard. Yeah. But like, no. And then I remember Emma looks at me, starts laughing. Austin looks at me and says, I don't think I'm drunk enough for this. And I'm like, I think we should leave. Like,
yeah, I don't know if that's the move.
But yeah.
I mean, there were definitely good memories that were made from the few and far between gatherings that we did go to. Like that.
More like cringy than anything else.
Oh, it's so cringy, like so incredibly cringy. I look back,
so
and I'm like,
funny to recap the next day.
So funny. That's like any college person though. It's like everyone has their cringe memories, but it's just fun to recap in the morning.
Oh my gosh, so fun.
Yeah. Okay. Well. Okay. Another question. What is something that growing up in the Midwest gave to you, like for your running career?
Oh. Poor man's altitude, you know,
humidity.
Yeah, the humidity. I think it makes you really tough, honestly.
Like, I mean, humidity destroys me. So
it's so hard. Like, I think it's so underplayed. I feel like I would go home for, I got banned from going home for longer than 2 weeks in college because I would literally get injured every time I would do that. Because it's a concrete jungle, kind of where I'm from. So, yeah, but, like, the summer that I went home, full summer, I came back, that was, like, I came back way too fit because I was, like, just killing myself in the humidity and, like, running, like, not fast at all for, like, any of the summer workouts. And when I got back, it was just so much easier to run than I was just, like, oh, no. And I remember Marisa saying, like, see, this is why you can't go home. Like, we need to slow play the summer, like, way more.
Yeah.
but I don't know. I think it makes you tough.
Oh, and I mean, I don't doubt that.
The winters aren't that bad. Like, they're cold, but definitely runnable. Like, it doesn't snow a ton where I'm from, which is in Kansas. Like, it's not, where I live isn't super, super brutal winter. Like, it can be really cold, but it's like very hit or miss. Like, it can be 60 in December one day, and then it can be like 0 degrees another day. Like,
yeah, that's like something in college that is just so funny. I mean, it was such a small time in my life, but like thinking about college, like coming back from the summer, it was always the most like interesting thing ever, because yeah, it's everything is so heightened. Everyone's just like, all right, who's like in good shape and who's in not good shape? Like who trained this summer, who didn't train this summer? And it's like honestly kind of stressful. Now I look back, I'm like, ah, like everyone was just like kind of comparing. But yeah, you'd have people like Allie coming back like insanely fit. And then you have someone else that's like didn't run all summer long, and you can kind of tell because they died in the tempo run. It's just such a weird period of time though.
It is like, and people like it all also so much depends on like when their track season ended too. Like
that too. Everyone's at a different
like,
place.
Everybody's in like some weird like 50 shades of fitness, and then like you all just have to like be thrown into like the same level within like a month.
Yeah.
Like I feel like camp, like the whole point of camp is like, okay, like we need to figure out how we can run together. Like
yeah. Well, you just came back from the UW cross country camp.
Yes.
How is that compared to Sun River at Oregon?
Oh my gosh, you're going to think this is so funny. So Sun, the place that we go is called Suncadia.
Okay. I literally looked it up when I saw someone was there. I don't know who was there. It was probably you or like it's someone else that was on the team. And I was like, Suncadia. I was like, is this, and it looked almost identical to Sun River.
It is.
I was like, man, Marisa did a good job vetting out different areas because it's the exact same thing as we did at Oregon.
No, it is. It's the exact same, but like better.
No!
Like more places. It's like, yeah, it's the same, but like bigger. Like more places to run. Like, yeah, it's a resort too, but it's just, yeah, it's just better.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So I mean, like, it's really nice though. It looks the exact same. Like, it's not quite as, it doesn't have the same elevation as Sun River. Like, it's a little lower. It's like, no, basically no elevation.
I mean, Sun River, it's not like Sun River was super high either. So,
no, it's like 1,000 feet lower probably than Sun River.
Okay.
But yeah, so negligible, but yeah. It's pretty much the same. Yeah, it's my 7th year at camp.
Yeah, man, it sounds kind of fun though. I'm like, I kind of miss it. Like that's like, I miss Sun River.
So fun it is. And like now I'm in the, you know, I'm in the coach's condo, so
whoa,
stepping it up, you know.
Is that fun?
It's really fun. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, you are older now, so now I'm like,
yeah, but Prakel came too for a bit, so it was really fun. I'm terrible at golfing, and he took me golfing. we saw, the animals there are crazy. You know how the deers were, like, super friendly at some point?
Yeah.
They're a little more skittish here, but I still managed to feed them some carrots.
There you go.
Very frowned upon, but.
Don't do that. It's a staple though, you gotta do it.
I had to try. Like I definitely got caught. Like I walked outside my slippers with a handful of carrots, and then I was like, nobody wants to eat these, I'll feed these to the deer. And then so I'm like outside, and like one of the girls on the team is like, Cashmo, like what are you doing over there? And I'm like, nothing.
Nothing. I'm just snacking on some carrots.
Yeah, but they have elk. Bear.
Oh, okay.
And apparently bears, but I didn't see any. Though I frequently realized that I was running at prime bear time. Like, I didn't realize this till today, my last run in Suncadia. I run past this huge sign by myself, and I'm like, and it says, it has bears, a picture of a bear and a mountain lion, and it says, like, beware, 1 hour... before sunset and after sunrise. And I was like, in the last 24 hours I ran at both of those times exactly.
Good.
By myself.
Good to know for next year.
I'm like, good. But I did stop. I like was running with music in the woods, and I stopped when I'm by myself because I doubled last night, and I was running through the woods, and I look up when I'm about to, when I'm about to turn around, and there's a massive elk with huge horns, and it's like 15 feet away from me.
Wait, why are you running alone? Don't you have people to run with there?
Well, I normally would, but like most of the girls aren't doubling yet.
Oh.
So, because it's like kind of early, but yeah. So I was running by myself, and then today was like our departure day, so it was kind of just like, if you want to run before we leave, like you just got to go early.
Yeah.
But other than that, I've been running with everybody. But yeah, so there was one of these guys, but it was like 15 feet and they'll like charge you. Like you don't, like they're huge animals.
I would be so frightened.
And I looked up and was like, oh no.
Yeah, what's the protocol? What are you supposed to do?
I didn't know what to do. So I just turned around and ran the other direction, which is probably not great.
You're probably the opposite of what you're supposed to
do. I kept like turning around, like making sure it wasn't following me. I was like, this is, okay, I'm going to show you though. Look at this.
Dude, if that animal came, it was.
And they like scream at you. Like they'll like, they sound like seals.
Ah.
It's like frightening. Like I was like, oh no.
Okay, well you're safe now.
I'm good now, yeah. But moral of the story, run with friends without earphones.
Yeah. There you go. Well, kind of on the same topic, not with elk, but with camp. I think some biased people came to ask questions because someone said, or multiple people asked, who was your favorite UW athlete? So
who's my favorite UW athlete?
Yeah.
I don't play favorites because, you know, I'm a coach now. So. Yeah,
good answer.
I love everyone equally.
Yes, everyone is great in their own way.
Yeah, I feel like I've really gotten to know like both all the men and the women, which is cool. Like I feel like it's taken me a while, but yeah.
Nice. Okay, well the last question I have to wrap up the episode is, do you have any advice to your younger self?
I guess maybe I would say like just kind of live in the moment. And like trust your instincts, like, you know, like you said, like if you're like, you know, I think I need to move to Seattle, then you just do it. Or, you know, if you're like, I need some space from running, then maybe it's time for a little break ski. Or like if you're like, you know, but also like I think like, you know, like give yourself the chance. Like I feel like some of what I've done differently is just like I feel like I've really believed in myself, and like maybe a lot, maybe more so than I did in college. Like I feel like every race I've lined up for this year, I'm like, you know, like I'm not limiting myself anymore. Like I'm not like, okay, like this is what I've done in the past. It's more like, okay, like what can I do today? Like, you know, I think giving yourself a chance to like, you know, go pro, or like to like, you know, even workouts, like don't, you know, don't put any boundaries on yourself. Like, I guess all of those things.
Yeah, that's good advice. And I mean, you're someone that regardless of even if you're running or not, you've always inspired me just with your work ethic. We didn't talk about it very much. One of the questions I had, but this episode's kind of long already. You'll just have to come on again. We can talk about it later, but it's like, like, where does your, like, I'm just so curious as where your internal drive comes from, because it's something that I really admire, and I feel like you just have, like, this relentless attitude, and it just is something that I've always found, like, very intriguing, because I'm just like, I want that, and I think that's just, you've proven it over the course of, like, your success in college and beyond, and, like, your relentless drive to become a professional runner obviously has paid off recently, so even at your elderly age, I'm just kidding, you're not here.
Yeah, you're in
like a hard period now. Of time to like go pro. What
I said, you're in your mid-20s now.
I know, I just turned 25. I'm like, oh my goodness, I am elderly. But yeah, I'm excited to continue watching your running career and your just life in general, because obviously I'm you're like my close friend, so obviously I care to see it all. But I'm sure a lot of people got stuff out of this episode. Where can people follow you at?
I'm most active on Instagram, the gram. I don't even know what my name is.
Isn't it Allie Cash?
Allie Cash.
Allie Cashmore. Mo. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Follow Allie. Yeah.
I have a Twitter, but I don't use it that much. I mostly like get my news on there, like, or results, you know.
That's literally like what everyone says. They're like, I have a Twitter, but I don't use it. I'm like, yeah, yeah. That makes sense.
Not Instagram. Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for coming on. To close out the episode, can we get a good old peace out, fellas?
Peace out, fellas.
Thank you guys so much for listening to today's episode of Convos Over Cold Brew. I hope you enjoyed it. Always a good time talking to Allie. I love when I get to see her in person because it's seriously like nothing has changed. I feel like Allie and I have had a lot of highs and lows together, so it's just been fun to see her progress and seeing her continue to run after college and really flourish. So I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. Don't forget to rate and review on Apple Podcasts if you haven't already. Follow us on Instagram at Convos Over Cold Brew Pod if you want to submit listener questions or just be up to date on the latest episodes. And I will hear from you guys in the next one. Peace out, fellas.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.